What the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Eric, open your mind. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
Dude, you just blew my mind.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Yes, it will. Welcome back to Tinfoil Hat. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You know who I am. You know what I'm here to do. Join me as always, XG in the place to be.
What's up, dude?
Looking bright as fuck in his orange.
Thank you.
Look
just
at you,
got
dude.
Out of, just got done doing Mexican things. Construction worker, you know?
Yeah, that is it. You look like you can control traffic, or you're helping bring in the airplane to the gate. A lot of amazing things are going on at Tinfoil Hat. Today's episode is a personal favorite. We'll get into our guests in 2 seconds. As always, we got some shows coming up. This Sunday night in Los Angeles, it is the Return of the Naughty Show, brought to you by our good friends at abx.org. That's Absolute Extract. Go to Absolute Extract or abx.org, and they are basically the Nike, the Reebok of weed. They got everything. It's getting better and better. The website's getting brighter. The more colors, you know, the more serious it is. So they got whatever you want, dude. They got vape pens, flower. They got weed water, which when I was growing up was called bong water, and it tasted horrible. But now they got weed water, so that's good for you. I mean, it's like the Gatorade of stoners, in my opinion. They have, I mean, you name it, they got it, and they are, we're very proud to be working on them. The Naughty Show is a stand-up and burlesque and pole working show, and it is the greatest show ever put together. We have a wonderful lineup, and you guys will find that flyer on, go to all my social media. It's out there. Jim Florentine, Jessamay Peluso, Jason Ellis, and the list goes on. And George Perez is on it.
Oh, shit, yeah? No wonder there's strippers there.
Yeah, come down. Get weird, homeboy. You know what I'm saying? So we got that. Then we also have, we're excited to announce that Tinfoil Hat is making its way back to Texas. We're going to be in Plano at Hyenas on June 14th. And then June 15th, we're at the Secret Group in Houston. Myself, Eddie Bravo, XG, the place to be, live there. So we do stand up with a little bit of Q&A at the end. We are the blue collar tour for conspiracies, right?
And then we got New York.
Then we got New York. We are at Skankfest, winning. Okay, we're at Skankfest. I'll be doing stand up, but myself, XG, and Tim Dillon will be doing a live Tinfoil Hat in Brooklyn, and you might be seeing me in the goddamn Comedy Jam singing some Beastie Boys since I'm in Brooklyn. What else do we got? Go check out the t-shirts. Go to tinfoilhattshirts.com, and we're always putting up a new shirt every month. Go check it out. I think the new shirt that's on there now, hopefully it's up by now, it's Loyal to the Foil.
Nothing.
I'm going to really go nuts on my t-shirt guy. we just put up the Ronin shirt with the Samurai, you, me, yep. Eddie Bravo on there. So that's go to tinfoilhattshirts.com. And the Patreon is cooking with gas. Every week I put up a new conspiracy now, and it is the world's worst public access show. Please stop complaining about the audio. It's meant to be like that. When you're underground, you're underground, okay? And I just had Brian Holtzman on it, and I'm going to have Andy Andrews on there this week, so, and Brady Matthews, so please come and support. Is there anything else?
That's it. Oh, BetDSI.
Okay, yeah. And finally, go to our good friends at BetDSI. BetDSI for all your bet needs. They're supporting the show. We're trying to grow websites, everything. Without them, it is impossible. Go to BetDSI.com. Use the promo code HAT100, and they will match anything you deposit into the account up to $500. Now, if you take that bonus, you cannot withdraw your money. You have to gamble so much money to get that out because they would be stupid to allow you to put $500 in. They give you $500 and then you can pull it right out. That is called dumb.
I wonder if anybody got away with it the first couple times.
I
they
doubt
didn't catch it.
You These don't guys think, yeah, are pretty legit. Calculated. Yeah. You know?
I
mean,
know.
They run a gambling website. That's shady as fuck. They're my good friends, and they've been supporting all my podcasts for a very long time. I am so excited for today. We have what I consider royalty on the show. Their YouTube page is one of the best YouTube pages out there. And I think they don't get enough credit, even though they got a ton of subscribers. I don't think they get enough credit for what they do. Please welcome from the amazing YouTube channel, The Edge of Wonder, Rob Counts and Ron Chasten. Yeah.
That sounds right.
Nice.
Did I get it right?
No.
Teen.
Let's go with it.
Right. I love
ben
you guys.
Chastine.
Okay, there we go. Motherfucker. I should just open with that and just did the rest. Guys, even though I just butchered your last name, I promise you, I love what you guys are doing. I think your show is so important. I think how you guys digest the material and put it out is so important. You guys have fun with it, and you guys put out in a positive energy type thing instead of this like super dark kind of feel that people in our community tend to have. I don't understand why people get into the truth community and just become miserable, because I think then the lizard people win, right? I think it's like important to be putting out this information. While I also understand you have to enjoy your life. So I really appreciate you guys. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks
Thank
so much
you.
For having
Thank
us.
You so much.
Really appreciate it.
Really appreciate it so much.
Where did Edge of Wonder start? How long have you been doing this, and where did it start from?
Well, I mean, we just started. Well, we really January of 2018 was really when the first video that we uploaded. Rob was doing a lot of the graphics and the design work, and it was kind of like Dan and I at the beginning working on the actual content. And after, it was just me on the first episode, but then after that, I really was talking to Rob, and I was like, you know, both of us just agreed, like, hey, we should have both of us on. You know, it makes it a little bit easier to kind of bounce ideas off back and forth and
joke around,
yeah,
a little
joke
bit.
Around, yeah, you know. So
it's hard if you're solo to joke
yeah,
around. You know?
It really is. And his personality is more of like, you know, the more joking around kind of personality. And mine's a little bit more of the kind of serious personality. So together, it really works well.
It does. Where did you guys meet?
And we met back in 2008, seven or eight,
something
yeah,
like
we,
that.
Yeah, we actually were both working for a media company called The Epoch Times, which is actually probably the only name in news out there that's really not connected to the deep state. They're doing a great job.
One of them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, one of. But they're clean, and him and I were working there, and we would always be talking about this stuff when we were working there. And at a certain point in 2016 or 17.
Well, it was going back to 2014, really.
Yeah, that's
I
true.
Because actually what happened was, you know, I was a photographer, and I started getting sent out to all these different places. And I was in Ferguson. And that being in Ferguson at the height of the protest there, when all the craziness was happening, that's when I kind of took a step back and really started thinking about this stuff way more in depth. Like, really, what's going on here? You know, it almost seemed like both sides were the victims. And it just looked like the situation was being manipulated from somewhere outside. So, you know, I'd come back and we'd start talking about these things. We're both really into, you know, metaphysical stuff and UFOs. We both had personal experiences with that. And we would just always talk about this. And this was kind of like a dream of mine to always start a channel, but, you know, it just wasn't right at the time, and it just wasn't there yet.
Yeah, there was all kinds of things that kind of came together for this, because we, you know, when you're when you're doing a show like this, I mean, we wanted to reach people, but we didn't necessarily know how or the right way or the right method. And, you know, when you're talking about red pilling people, it's such a serious topic. It's such a serious conversation. And we kind of looked at it and we looked at everything that was out there. I mean, you know, we were watching David Wilcock for a while, Corey Good for a while, and those guys were dropping all kinds of truths on Gaia. And, you know, looking at the disclosure community, we just were like, hey, we really do need, like, there needs to be a voice out there, especially on the metaphysical stuff. I think more so on everything, of course, the truth. But, you know, we just decided to just give it a try. We didn't even know it was going to happen.
And then
after about 6 months, our minds were pretty much blown with
the support that we got from people was just incredible. And, you know, you hit on something really important. A lot of the videos that we were watching before we started the channel, after I got done watching the video, I felt really down and depressed. And I'm like, you know, everyone's covering this doom and gloom and focusing on this like trying to get hits. And so they're pushing this like these topics and making it all like, you know, the end of the world kind of thing. And we just really came together and we were just kept thinking, what would we want to watch? And we were like, you know, we wouldn't watch something that's super informative, kind of funny, brings in pop culture, different aspects of us growing up as kids, you know. And
well, and researched really well. Yeah. And then also to not fall into this like pitfall that mainstream investigative journalists fall into, where it's like, they have to be perfect or something. And that's not what this is about. Like, we need to ask questions. We need to start conversations. We need to wake people up and help people think for themselves again, because everybody's just looking at talking heads on their TV and they're not thinking for themselves. And that is not okay. Like, there's nothing okay about that. That is why we're in the situation that we're in right now. And that's our, like, one of our main missions is really just getting people to think. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, giving these conspiracy theories, I hate using that word, a shot, because it's like, do your research. Really, do your research yourself. Don't listen to someone. Don't listen to someone who's telling you something doesn't exist or it's not true, all this stuff. Talk to people, figure it out, and then give it a shot, because if you don't, you're just keeping yourself in the dark about a lot of these things. I mean, we found so many things we weren't expecting since we started doing the show. And we already knew all this stuff was pretty much, like, a lot of this stuff existed. But then when you start researching and you literally are looking around and you're like, how can it be that these people who call themselves investigative journalists aren't following the money, aren't following the names, and are doing such a poor job of actually finding the truth, unless there was some kind of agenda?
Right.
I mean, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you guys have nailed all of it. I think it's, I hate the word conspiracies too. We use it because that seems to be the label that covers what we want to talk. I think it's basically, we're more spiritual skeptics of the official narrative. I consider your channel a news channel, not a conspiracy channel. I consider it like the unreported news. I would, you know, you, Jimmy Dore, those are people like I would go get my news from you guys before I go sit there and like, how is Rachel Maddow's ratings not zero right now? Like, we live in a country that suffers from Stockholm syndrome. They just, it doesn't matter what you do, they're ride or die. And it looks like it's going to be die at this point, because nobody's asking any questions or trying to pump the brakes.
Yeah, that's exactly it, you know. And it's like, we know we may not have everything right. But, you know, it's just like, we're also out there trying to find the truth and present it to people what we found. And that's why we encourage everyone to do their own research. Don't just listen to us as well. It's like, you know, and we try to give people what they need to research on their own, the topics that we bring up. And, you know, and that's what really bothers me, like you were talking about, like Rachel and whatnot, because these people are like, they are directing people to like, this is it, you know, you have to follow, you have to believe this, like, you know. And it's like, I'm important, I'm famous, so you listen to me because I know the answer.
Well, yes. and also, like, look at their tactics.
Yeah.
Their tactics are, okay, news in the past, traditional news was, here's a series of facts and information, have a look at it and make a decision for yourself, right? Now what they do is they find one person whose story agrees with their narrative and their agenda, and they tell that part of the story, this little tiny little part of it, and then they send it out there and they emotionally charge you to react. And once you're emotional and you actually accept that as the truth, even though it's a very limited part of the story, you're sold on whatever that agenda or narrative is. And then it's very difficult to get that notion out of your head. It's very, very irresponsible. It's nearly criminal, actually. And they have known about this for a really long time. It's not, it's like, these are all methods that marketing agencies have been using for, I mean,
long time.
Yeah, scores of years. Yeah. You're talking about, like, they could do this to you in the 50s and the 60s. Never mind now when we have all technology to be able to calculate what people want and how they want things and all of that stuff. They'd be very strong to defend themselves against this stuff, you know?
Well, we're 3 years into Donald Trump's, his administration. And as a conspiracy theory podcast, it is almost suicide to want to say that we might have been duped. And even though I said after Obama, I go, give me 2 years, we'll find out what's really going on. For you guys, what is your opinion at where we're at right now with the Donald Trump administration? People are trying to say, I'm saying he's a black hat. I'm saying, I don't know what, I'm on nobody's side. I question everything. But I'm like, maybe we need to start asking some serious questions. And what are your thoughts on the whole thing?
Well, I think the important thing is to ask questions. And like you said, you know, it's good to look at everything, you know, all angles on it. And I think, you know, at the beginning, we were like that. And with me in particular, you know, I was at the White House reporting as a photographer in 2017, actually just a few months before we started doing the show. And, you know, I was seeing how the mainstream media were there, like the things that they would say and how they would talk among each other. And it started making me really think about things in a whole different way, because I could tell that they wanted to direct the narrative. You know, they want to control this. It's like Trump would say something, and, you know, because I was there at so many of these events, and it's like one little small thing would happen, okay? But they take that and they make it the mainstream headline news. And I was like, dude, I was there. Like, this thing is so insignificant compared to, like, all these other things that were going on. So I started seeing this and getting a little bit kind of frustrated by the way things were taking place. And so, you know, I took a step back and really started looking at things a lot more in depth, and how the things that Trump was saying and how the mainstream media were reporting on it. And really, you know, when we started doing our Deep State series, that's when we started really thinking about this stuff. I mean, granted, you know, we don't want to get political by all means and, you know, say one thing or another. But I think the main thing is that, you know, Trump is calling out communism. He's standing up more for, like, traditional culture in the U.S. And, you know, you don't have to agree with every single thing. I mean, granted, we don't agree with every single thing, you know, and that he's doing, or, you know, especially the 5G aspect and whatnot. But I think, like, the important thing is that there is a deep state that is going on, and they are in full swing attacking Trump because they didn't think he was going to win. So he's a direct threat to everything they stand for.
Yeah, the way that I kind of look at this is it's kind of like almost every single media company out there is lambasting the guy.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that if he's a part of this narrative and agenda that they have? The only reason they would be doing that is if he's something that they can't control, or he's outside of that, or he's a wild card. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And if you look at it, it'll be like, for from one day to another on a specific topic, there will literally be something like 1,500 articles into the mainstream news or something like that, right?
Right.
It, like, whether, and that will be on something that they really want to rail against or something. And, I mean, then you have to start asking, well, what's really going on here, right? And the thing that I would just recommend telling people mostly is don't listen to the news. Go to the source. Mm-hmm. If he's gone to speak somewhere, listen to the actual thing that he said and listen to the whole speech. Don't listen to what someone like Rachel or CNN said, about that. Because what ends up happening is they're taking these little bits out, they're taking them out of context, and then they're like, he's racist. He's a Nazi. It's like they don't even know what a Nazi is. Like, yeah. Do people know what a Nazi is? You're just throwing that word around to attack someone because they know that emotionally, if you say that, someone's going to have a reaction towards someone. You can't do that. You have to look for yourself, find the source, and then make a judgment call based on, you know, your own kind of values, I guess you could say. Think for yourself.
I mean, CNN basically ran a piece trying to tell us how much we should love the Bushes, and they literally worked with Nazis, not like figuratively or, you know, you could interpret it. They were like straight up funding Nazis, like straight. I mean, like, the podcast we just did with Oli Demigard, like the Bushes are like the biggest crime family in history. I mean, like, it's unbelievable. Maybe not in history. There's some pretty dark people.
The Clintons.
But they're in the run. They're in the run. They're going to make the playoffs for like worst people ever. They're definitely going to make the tournament. How far they go, we don't know. But they're definitely in there. I'd say they're at the worst middle seed. So it's very interesting. Now, the alliance. Is there an alliance? Do you believe in the alliance? Because we haven't heard about the alliance in a while. We used to hear a lot about the alliance. Now you don't hear about it so much. Is there an alliance?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that there really is. You know, we've actually had, this is one thing that was pretty shocking to us. You know, when we first started doing this channel, we weren't really sure who we're going to, you know, attract and our fans would be. But we have many emails coming through that are pretty high-level military people telling us that they're like, you know, you guys don't know, but you have a lot of military people watching you. And I don't mean like just low-end military people. Like, these are high-ranking officials watching you guys because they know this stuff is true. They just can't talk about it openly.
Really?
Yeah, I'm dead serious about that.
Yeah, we were as shocked as you are right now.
Shout out to the Alliance. Shout out to the Alliance.
Yeah, and you know, another thing is, too, there were some people that were at CPAC, and they were talking to some of the speakers, and they got in a conversation about the deep state. And this is, like, one of the speakers at CPAC who was talking, and it was a woman. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but they got in this conversation about the deep state, and the person she was talking to, he's a friend of mine, and he's like, oh yeah, I watched this channel about Edge of Wonder. It's really good talking about the deep state. And she's like, oh my gosh, I love that channel.
I love you guys. I do. I know what you're talking about.
It's like blown away. So
yeah, I think with the Alliance, I think, you know, how do you find evidence of a group that isn't supposed to exist, really? You know, this is where a lot of this stuff comes, and people have a hard time believing these things or understanding them. But if you dig deep enough, if you research enough, you just start finding stuff. And really, the core of this, the centralized spot for this, is if you want to know more about this, is you have to give QAnon a shot, right? A lot of people, if you look at mainstream news, they're just going to lambast him and say this is a conspiracy theory, this is not true, blah, blah, blah. There is more than enough evidence pointing to the fact that the drops that Q are making, for the most part, are accurate. And there's been some shocking ones recently where he's even said something literally a year to the day before, and then a year later to the day, that thing happens. That's not normal. There's nothing normal about that.
What has happened recently? What? That you guys believe happened.
The one of the ones was Rod Rosenstein's resignation. Q posted, I'm trying to remember the exact date. It was almost a year ago, and he basically said that the the month and when he was going to resign, and that was exactly the month and maybe even the date. I think it could have even been the date. I would have to pull it up.
So a lot of people think, well, okay, so a lot of people think, well, this isn't true, or this is just these shills, or it's a LARP, or all of this stuff. But, okay, come on. The CIA or the FBI have more than enough technology to find any dork that's posting like this, unless they were high-level military and knew what they were doing to stay off of the radar.
Like the
NSA. And then if you look at, well, what is the NSA? Well, the NSA is military intelligence. The NSA and the CIA hate one another.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole thing about Edwin Snowden, right? Is that he could be that guy to take. I mean, like, we're hearing right now about, and somebody's going to laugh because he says, I learned this term and I'm going to say it in every episode for the next month, but sheep dip, right? We're talking about Stork, right? But he was both CIA and FBI. And that's what the CIA does. They infiltrate and they kind of take over. And the whole thing about the NSA was that they couldn't control it, so they tried to destroy it.
Yeah, that seems to be the exact narrative. So, I mean, really what Edward was exposing was the NSA, who was actually spying on the CIA and the deep state people. And so when it exposed it, it was actually a really negative thing. I guess you could use the word alliance to the alliance because, you know, everyone started freaking out. But in reality, I don't really believe that they were spying on the people. It was more of like internally, I think they were using this to spy on people. The CIA was the one that's spying on the people. So,
yeah. There's a lot. Actually, this is a big rabbit hole.
Just today, just like an hour ago, we brought up Argentina because there was a fan we met recently from Argentina. And we were talking to Luba, who kind of does our Instagram. And right after we get done talking about Argentina, she looks at her phone on Instagram and these ads come up for Argentina.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. It's listening. I love Apple telling us, oh, dude, we're not going to give away your data. Come on, dude. Come on.
But your apps definitely will.
God, the things they have on me. I don't know. That's why I talk about it all the time. I'm like, I'm in the weird stuff. I like weird things. Yeah. I get it out there now so they can't blackmail me into weird stuff. So one of the big things that you guys hit was you guys broke down QMAP, right? And just the basic whole thing about the power structure of the world. What, for those who might not have saw your video on it and your interview, what is QMAP?
Whoa, that's a loaded question. this guy named Dylan Lewis Monroe, who we actually interviewed a few months back, right when Q first came out, he spent about 2 months, just solid 2 months, researching every aspect of, I guess you can say, conspiracy theories or theories. I like to say I like to call myself a conspiracy realist. But he basically combined all of these in one map. Everything from, oh my gosh, I mean, everything from
the Jesuits to the Vatican.
Going back to Egyptian time, like even before Egyptian time. So basically like the start of the Bible all the way up until what's happening right now. Literally right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're looking at everything. Like Assyrian culture, Sumerian culture, you know, Egyptian culture, everything.
Everything. And how it all actually is like a timeline almost, that all this stuff literally starts connecting. So it's like these events that are happening are no longer these isolated events when you look at this QMAP. You can actually see the path of how these things are orchestrated, arranged, how the CIA gets involved, like, you know, when the CIA starts. At the same time the CIA starts, all these other programs and things start setting up, and then you have, like, all these Operation Paperclip, which is when the U.S. actually brought in former Nazi scientists, supposedly reformed Nazi scientists, but you find out that that's not really the case.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you have Operation Mockingbird, which is literally the CIA paying media companies.
Well, completely infiltrating media companies. So that's like, it's beyond paying. Like, they're paying, but then they're also, their agents are in the media companies. And, I mean, it's not that hard to find. If you look at where, you know, Anderson Cooper, where his first job was, you know, look, is he? We don't know for sure.
Well,
but
I mean,
it looks like yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I so mean, he was an intern there, and then look what he is, and look what his family name is. I mean, his real last name is Vanderbilt. I mean, all these things just
really weird stuff. When you really start diving down this rabbit hole, and you start seeing these, so this is where it gets weird. When you start seeing the connections yourself to all of these things, that's when you're just like, okay, this is almost too much to be, you know, it's like everything is starting to get connected. You start seeing similar patterns with people's last names. You start seeing familiar patterns of, like, you know, like the Bush family, for example, right? You start seeing them involved in different aspects of, on this map. And it just gets really, really
weird,
crazy and weird.
If you guys we're told the CIA is our intelligence, but are they our intelligence or are they something else? Maybe the law, the law enforcement arm of the World Banks or the whatever New World Order. Are they our intelligence or do they actually have a darker meaning?
Well, I think one thing I want to really bring up too is that when we say the CIA, we don't mean everybody involved in the CIA.
Yeah, of course.
We want to make that really clear that it's just like really a small percentage, although they have a little bit more authority.
Well, no, and no one there might know because any kind of task that you're given is you're only seeing a very small part of it, right? So you have to look at the top of that pyramid there. And then look at, and if you really start looking into their history, I mean, have you guys seen the movie American Made with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's a little snapshot of the CIA, right? Like, really look into that whole thing and how they were bringing drugs in and how they were funding their projects and all of these things and who was at the CIA at the time, not to come back to the Bush family, but hey, you know, like these things are all of a sudden, you know, you start seeing a different side of things. And then if you keep digging, you find crazy stuff and agendas that they're connected to, that they're carrying out from different committees that exist. Right.
Right. And to answer your question, you know, I think I can't remember the exact terminology that they use, but it's something like the CIA is for foreign and domestic threats. So they can use anything for domestic threat. You know, it's like whatever it is. Oh, we need to set up, you know, these new security measures because there's like domestic threats, right?
Yeah.
So it's like they can use that umbrella for anything that they want to do, and it gives them free rein to have more control domestically.
Who is Pindar?
Who is Pindar?
Just go straight into it. It's a good question.
It is a good question. So supposedly, you know, again, like, you know, obviously we don't know for sure, but supposedly this guy Pindar is the top of a pyramid food chain, or I guess you could say, that it is like some kind of demonic, whether it be a demonic entity or some kind of, you know, alien, the reptilian aspect. Supposedly he's one of the main head people or head entities for the deep state that gives all the orders and everyone kind of follows through, and that's the person that, or the entity, the being, the demon, whatever it is, that's kind of the head of at this pyramid structure level.
Which sounds really whack, and no one's going to understand that or think that that's normal just listening to us talking.
Do you guys have, is there any proof of Pindar, do you think?
I've really looked really hard. We have, honestly, I'll tell you, you know, since we've been doing the show, we've had fans contact us telling us firsthand experiences with reptilians. If you look at, in all different cultures and religions, you find all of this symbology of like alien or these reptile creatures in all religions. You know, some refer to it as like these demons, but they're all these like reptilian snake-like entity beings.
In the Hindu culture and the Buddhist culture, they're called Nagas, right? And they even worship them. And a lot of people, if you go, it's almost like, you know, you go to different regions and people will be like, oh, I saw Bigfoot. You know, like everyone's talking about Bigfoot in these regions. It's like that in like different parts of the world where people see these things and they don't know how to explain them. But, you know, it's this hush-hush thing where people might talk about it under their breath or together at the dinner table, but they're not necessarily bringing it up, you know, at a social event. But, you know, there is a lot of evidence, I guess you could say, of firsthand people's experiences, but you can very easily shirk those or say those don't exist unless you're talking to multiple different people and all of them are telling you the same thing. They don't know who to go to. They don't know who to talk to.
Yeah.
And they're telling you very similar stories about these. And they're like, Rand, they don't even know that these things exist. And they're like, I saw something weird one time, and they start telling you what it was, what happened. And then it's like, you start seeing that, hey, maybe there's something going on here, or maybe there is more to, you know, this world than meets the eye. And it's something that we can't explain, and that's okay. But at least let's take the data down and have it as a possibility, you know?
For sure. Is the queen a lizard person, and does she eat children?
I wish I had a direct answer for that. You know, the problem is that we don't know firsthand. I mean, and that's where, you know, like we're trying to find out more of this information. I would feel very uncomfortable saying like, yes, you know, now we have fans, you know, and some people we personally know that swear up and down, they would say yes. You know, again, we can't say that. We do know that there is something really weird going on with that thing, with her, with that family.
Let me just explain this, really, like something weird that we found in our journey. Okay. If you start researching vampires, okay, you go back and start researching vampires. Okay. You go back and the first instances of vampires seem to be from India, these people worshiping these weird things. You know, the gypsies migrate across Europe, eventually find their way into the mainland, I guess you could say. And then all of a sudden these things start getting killed at night. You know, vampires start getting killed at night. People are seeing things. Blood is disappearing from people. People are disappearing from their graves, stuff like this. We have a whole episode on this. It's really weird, right? And then in Romania, you have a guy named, you know, Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
Who everyone calls, you know, Dracula, right? Dracula, the word Dracula means dragon. Romanian, okay? He belonged to this secret society, I guess you could say, called the Order of the Dragons. Order of the Dragons. Okay, now, if you start looking into this order, it's very hard to find information about this order, but you start finding some weird things. There was also another person a part of this order called, her name was Elizabeth Bathory.
Yes.
Elizabeth Bathory killed about 620 or 640 handmaids. She strung them up. And the blood dripped into the bath, and she would bathe in the blood, and then she was convinced that this would keep her young. So now you have two people a part of this order, Elizabeth Bathory and Vlad the Impaler. Vlad the Impaler, if you actually track back the Windsor bloodline, it heads straight towards Vlad the Impaler. Prince Charles is proud of this, talks about it all the time, thinks it's great. Prince Charles is in the House of Windsor. Who else is in the House of Windsor? Yeah. Well, in the House of Windsor, you have the Queen, Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth is a part of the House of Windsor. They both recognize this bloodline heading back to Matthew and Baylor. And then we're talking about dragons, Rackle. Okay, well, Dracos. Those are the reptilians. You know. And then if you start looking at the City of London, you start finding weird things.
Oh my gosh, there's so many dragons in the City of London.
In the City of London, there are dragons around the city. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's all this weird symbolism of dragons. And now, you know, this isn't like a Chinese friggin' dragon. A Chinese dragon is like good. It's like a heavenly thing or whatever. This is like the fire-breathing, demonic dragons surrounding the city of London.
The end of Game of Thrones dragons. Is that what we're talking about? The one who emotes emotion and then...
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of dragon.
So, okay, so just from what we just shared, it's kind of like, is any... like, there's many not normal things. Now, you're talking about Elizabeth Bathory, who was a part of the Order of the Dragon, and she's bathing in blood, thinking that it's keeping her young. And then you have all this, everyone's talking now about how the elites do that. And so is there, how long have they known about this? Is it true? Is it not? I mean, it's worth looking into. It's weird. It's weird as heck.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, it's like everything lines up and you're telling me just it's a coincidence. And, like, that's what we've learned before.
Well, that's what they can do. Now, if you put in, young people's blood, it's supposed to make your old blood, like...
Oh, yeah. When I heard that, I mean, the world just got worse,
just
man.
Think about it. You got to get kids' blood
and shit. Guys, if you look up Queen Elizabeth blood container thing, you can actually see photos of her walking around with this, like, container of blood with her. She calls it, like, in case an emergency that she needs it or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. And I love the PR game that we've done with the royal family. Like, they're just this, like, loving... I don't know why they're royal. That's another thing. That's we can get an Anunnaki. That's how all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle start coming together. How she's basically... I think they've been convicted twice in, like... children either disappearing or being hunted down in world courts. One guy tried to arrest her. He got thrown in an insane asylum. We'll never hear from that guy again. You know, it's just like there's just weird shit about that.
Oh, there sure is. Well, yeah. And like someone was telling me the other day that they think the real Queen Elizabeth died a long time ago and that some entity has like taken over now. So...
we got
she's like, this what, is, like 93 or this something is, like
yeah,
that.
She's 93.
And I start laughing.
It's like, it's just like, I tell people, man, it's like, what do I think exists? Take every movie ever made and just they all go on at the same time. And that's what the simulation is. It's like someone at some point, some guy got bored of working at a simulation, said, let's put some LSD in this and let's see how it goes. And they just, at this point, they're just like, fuck it. Let's see how it's that crazy. It really is that crazy. Now, something I saw you guys talk about is energies, positive and negative, how these lizard people feed off the negative energy, and that's why everybody seems miserable as fuck right now, and they're just like, just making everybody, you know, saggy diapers. What are your guys' thoughts on that whole thing and positive energy, how they can't take positive energy? What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they call this what they call in like the kind of the community is this term called loosh, like LOSH. And that these beings are so, they're just opposite of anything good. I mean, that's why realistically, I mean, I think that, you know, whether you call them a demon or you call them aliens or whatever they are, they're a very demonic force for sure. And they feed off everything that is like just full of negativity. So if there's like if a lot of people are dying, what they're saying is that they will go to those areas and just like bring in all that energy into them. They want people to feel depressed. They want people, they want us to like, you know, they don't like it because they're, I mean, and this doesn't just go with like, we're talking about like reptilian aliens. This goes with anything that is truly on the negative, evil, satanic side that we're talking about here, because anything that's about compassion, love, forgiveness, like they can't stand it. That's why they can't stand any of the righteous people in history, because it's the total opposite of everything that they are. Because if people became more like this, it's a threat against them. So they want to suppress us. They want us to be depressed. They want us to like be hating each other, you know? So this is what they do, and they feed on that energy. It makes them stronger, and it suppresses us at the same time.
You see that with knowledge, the ancient knowledge that they've hidden in the Vatican basement. You see that with medicine and homeopathic, how they kill that off. They don't want you to pay attention to that at all. Any holistic doctor that solves kind of problems, big pharmaceutical, the biggest gangbangers in the world come and take you out. And you brought up a little Satan stuff, which brings us to Saturn. And I loved your video on Saturn and the black cube. I've been trying to find somebody who understands it, and your video was excellent. We talked about Satan. I mean, I've tried to bring this up to people, and they just go nuts that I'm saying it's not Satan, it's Saturn. What are your guys' thoughts on it? Can you explain us Saturn worshiping?
Well, sure. First of all, you have to understand that in these kind of occult communities, they actually call Satan the god of 1,000 names, right? Like they don't care what you call it. They just want you to worship something crappy.
Yeah, just like Eskimos and snow. They're shady. They got 90 names for it. You don't know what they're talking about. You're talking about snow or cocaine. We don't know. Don't trust anybody with 1,000 names. That's what I've learned.
So what's weird is there is thousands of years of Saturn symbolism on our planet when you start looking into it, and different symbols represent Saturn. But the weirdest symbol that represents Saturn, if you look at a picture of Saturn, Saturn's north pole, there is a hexagon storm on the top of Saturn.
Yeah.
And what is a hexagon storm but a cube that's turned on its axis, on its side, so that you can see the hexagon of the cube, right? And in the middle of that hexagon storm is a circle.
No, it's the bottom of Saturn.
No. Now, and if you go to,
Right there.
Now, if you go to like New York or California, you'll see these
black or red
cubes, and the cubes have a hole in the center of the cube. You can find one, an Astor Place in New York.
There's quite a few of them in New York. There's one.
There's red one in front of the Harriman Building.
Yeah, and there's also some in San Francisco and a few other places as well.
Santa Ana in San Francisco has this cube with the hole in it.
But if you look at the bottom of Saturn, then that is like a perfect eye.
It looks like an eye.
Yeah,
what? An actual eye.
Tip of eye. So it looks like, you know, the eye, the pyramid structure of the eye, it all represents Saturn, like everything that they're doing.
And you can find these cubes in all kinds of places. You can find them, you're looking at one of the biggest religions in the world, Islam, that, you know, they worship this cube every year, you know, going around it.
And it kind of looks like Saturn, too, by the way. They looks like the rings of Saturn.
Like they walk around.
The religion itself may not, they may
not even know.
Understanding, and we're not trying to criticize that, but it is kind of weird when you think of
it. It's just super weird.
Yeah.
The thing I found in your video, because I go, why Saturn? I've always gone, why is it Saturn? And I think it might be because at some point it was the sun. Is that, or it was thought to be the sun, or there's something.
So this goes to the other symbolism of Saturn. So, Saturn, it's called Saturn. Saturn was a god, right? Saturn was a god in the past that used to eat.
Well, that in Greek mythology, it was Kronos, right? And there was a story that his son was going to overpower him.
Zeus. So Zeus was going to overtake him. He heard about it.
So he decided to eat all of his children.
Right.
Which is where this sacrificing of the children supposedly come from, the eating of the, and then you have
thought of that. Oh my God.
Wait, this is really super weird. So if you look at ancient,
it's been super weird.
If you look at ancient Italy and ancient Rome, Rome was initially called Saturnia. They worshiped Saturn. Gets crazier. The symbol was a crescent with a star. What else has a crescent with a star? The symbolism. Well, Islam, right? Like, if you go to a lot of these countries, we're looking at the same symbolism. I mean, look at the Chinese flag. The Chinese flag is stars, a crescent star with a star in the middle. Right?
Well, and then going on with that, with communism, the symbol, the astrological symbol for Saturn, if you just take the two symbols, it's like an H. but really it's like a cross, and it looks like a cross and a sickle.
It is a sickle, yeah.
And then when you take it, it's literally the where communism's the symbol of communism came from.
This stuff is all out there, right? And then it's like, yeah. It's not just us saying this. Like, there's evidence of this stuff. There's evidence of the crescent and the star in so many different cultures. It's on coins from thousands of years ago. The place is called Saturn.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're looking at the astrological symbol, which is a cross with the sickle coming out of it. And it's like, you know, you just take those apart and you move it, and it's the hammer and the sickle for communism. And so then people think crazy. That this is...
Oh, my God, man!
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Then on top of that, you have like you know, the ball that they worship, and not Baphomet. What's the other one?
Moloch.
That's what I'm trying to think of. Yeah. So it's like, you know, Moloch is the demon god of child sacrifice, and this is the thing that, you know, it's like the where the Bohemian Grove. You know, that's what they supposedly. Yeah. Is this god Moloch, and then the child sacrificing comes in and all this stuff.
Now, it's really weird. Like, if you go and you, like, you know, you can actually, there's some videos on YouTube where you can listen to the sounds emitting every planet emits.
Oh, yes, Saturn.
All right, so every planet emits a sound that gets translated. And, if you listen to the sound coming out of Saturn, it is effed up.
What is it?
It's not even kind of weird.
It's super scary and eerie.
Now check this out. I was watching that show on Netflix called The OA. I don't know if you guys have seen that. There's tons of symbolism in this. It's actually a well-written show.
Oh, you know who's killing it on Netflix? Fucking Satan is killing. He's got like nine shows. He's like LeBron James of Netflix. LeBron's got nine shows. Satan's got nine shows on Netflix.
Lucifer.
The guy's crushing it.
Yeah. Yeah, so on this show, there was one of these scenes in the show where one of the guys was listening to the sound of Saturn, and he was like, he was mind controlling all of these people and stuff, and like, they're just putting it right out there.
You know,
when Ben and I watch this stuff, we're like sitting in our chairs laughing, because it's like,
this is like seriously disclosure. I mean, you just need to watch these movies and people can like understand what's really going on.
Yeah, and then, okay, in the second season of the OA, there is this one episode where there is this octopus that she calls the old knight. Okay, and this thing attaches to her. This thing attaches to her, and like, it's talking to her, and it was everything, like, this was the old ones, right? The old ones.
So I don't know if you guys are familiar with Lovecraft.
Yeah, H.P. Lovecraft.
We're kind of going to a different thing, but you know, this is where it gets crazy, because everything is connected, right?
Dog, so it was crazy an hour ago.
Yeah. So he's talking. He created the the monster.
The Kraken or something?
No, not the Kraken. But oh my gosh, it's just
the Montauk monster. No.
But you're talking about that octopus.
It's
monster.
The octopus
Cthulhu.
Monster thingy.
Cthulhu. Cthulhu.
Yeah. That's it. He's got it.
Thank you, Aaron. Aaron, our sound guy, who. It doesn't believe any of this, is the guy who came up with that.
So like, going on with octopus, Cthulhu. Right? This thing, this Cthulhu thing, is this? It's just like this ancient demon thing. It was used to be. The story was, it was like some kind of beautiful godlike being that fell down and then, you know, became this like demonic force thing. Well, I mean, all of this goes back into it, because I mean, we're talking about Saturn, we're talking about. Kronos and everything else, and then you bring in CERN into all of this, right?
Oh my god! Yeah,
and then CERN is using these D-wave computers, and the guy,
the quantum computers, quantum computers.
Jordy Rose, the guy who even made these quantum computers. I mean, he literally talks about
H.P. Lovecraft,
and bringing in these like old ones that they talk about, like literally open. It's like opening portals to try to bring these old ones in.
Yeah, and so like these are the quantum. This is the quantum computer guy talking about this at conferences with quantum computing people. That's not normal. First of all, it's not us saying that. This dork saying that.
Well, don't call him
whatever.
Dork. But yeah.
Anyway, it's like, insane. Well, he's talking. He's. I'm sorry, but he's being a dork when he's talking about this. He's talking about bringing in these beings from other dimensions, and it's just very strange, you know.
Yeah.
And okay, so he.
We'll call it
he's
dorkish.
Talking up really excitedly. But if you look at where are the quantum computers in the world right now, there's one at CERN, there's one at Google.
And China has them.
China has them.
Oh, my God.
And those are just the ones that we know about, right?
So, and I mean, people who don't know what a quantum computer is or what a quantum computer can do, it's like, it's literally... If you were trying to hack a computer and you try, like, you know, a normal computer would do one password at a time a million times until it found the password, right? A quantum computer will try every single possibility of that password in all of these other dimensions and come back with the answer right away. And it works.
Well, okay, when you said other dimensions, I'll clarify that. So another guy who actually... talks about the quantum computers. He was one of the ones that designed them. I forget his name. It was in a talk show that he was on, and he literally talks about how they work in a different dimension and come back and bring back information, which is how they work so fast. And everyone was like laughing at him and stuff. They thought he was joking.
Oh yeah, this was on Chelsea.
Chelsea, that's it.
Lately,
whatever Handler.
Yeah.
Hold on. The quantum computer physics guy went on Chelsea lately and talked about multiple dimensions, and everybody...
Yes. Yeah, and they thought he was joking, and everyone starts laughing, and he's not laughing.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, and they're like, when she's like, okay, maybe I better like do acid or something like that.
He probably was like, I'm just going to go to another dimension and get a monster and eat all you people.
I mean, it's whatever it is. It's weird.
Yeah.
So
and I don't know why. It's not like other dimensions are positively looked on. It's like it's a concept foreign to everybody. So if the guy who's really excited about his quantum computer is talking really excitedly about bringing in old ones from other dimensions or AI stuff, it just gets super weird.
I don't know why he's on the E channel, the channel that's built off a chick who made a porno. I don't know if that was the correct booking. Who's like, hey, dude, we got RuPaul's Drag Race. Then let's bring in the quantum physics guy, and that will really button it home on this show dedicated to brain rot. I don't know who made that booking, but that PR probably took a big hit on that one.
I'm sure they did, actually.
It's crazy. Okay, guys, how are you doing on time? Do we have a time restraint? Do you guys got to go make magic right now?
We're okay. Yeah, we're okay.
We're okay.
I got one question for them. They brought it up. How fucked are we with 5G?
I'm sorry?
How fucked are we with 5G? You guys brought up...
How fucked are we?
You guys brought it up earlier.
We had a couple of videos on 5G. And I think, all right.
Well,
here's how we're kind of looking at
it. But before we go into that, I mean, seriously, it's
bad.
It's bad.
It 5G really is bad. Bad. 5G bad. Is radiation for people.
Yeah.
I mean, we had...
We're doing a show on it tomorrow. Yep. It's not good.
James Scott, he's this guy who does like security stuff and whatnot. And I mean, he literally was talking about how some scientists were talking about how it melts your brain.
Yeah. All right. So with that said, 5G is bad, right?
Right.
But we have a couple of different entities that are trying to push out 5G, right? Okay. You have China.
Right.
China, Huawei, who's trying to push out 5G. They're trying to take over everything and be the 5G service. And then you have some American companies that are trying to do this too. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question. If 5G is going to roll out no matter what, would you rather be in control of that? Or have no control over it, which is the China side of 5G.
Because we
know billions and billions of dollars are going into all of their technology for surveillance across the entire world. Half of their military is surveillance officers. I mean, it's like not half, but a huge portion, a ridiculous amount.
Well, even Bloomberg had an article out about the iPhone, and they found a tiny, almost like a microscope chip within all iPhones that they didn't know what it was, and it turned out it was China adding these tiny microchips to all iPhones so they can actually record any conversation, whether your phone is off or on.
And where are the iCloud servers? They're in China.
Yeah.
So if the information is routing into China, do you think that they're, whether you own those servers or not, do you think they're not tampering with that?
Yeah, you, Steve Jobs. Fuck you. I hate your commercials where, like, multi-ethnic, biracial people, bisexual people are all dancing the music with iPhones. It's like, it's not real. You guys pay people nothing to make your phones, and you're shady as shit. That's my opinion.
That was bad. Probably sums it up in a perfect way.
You guys are so nice. Real quick, I know 5G. I want to get some 5G is fine. We'll live to fight that another day. I'm not interested in UFOs, man. Like, really, do UFOs. I mean, when we talk UFOs, we don't necessarily mean aliens from outer space. But do aliens from outer space exist, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's, like, not a single doubt in my mind that they don't exist, you know? And that's why we don't really, on the show, we're not really about, like, oh, here's this video, you know, that shows a UFO, because we're kind of, like, beyond that. It's, like, we're already at this phase where there are so many things in the sky. Almost everybody has some kind of story to share, you know? Even if it's something small, so many people I know have them as well. So it's more like, okay, let's move on from the point of, like, do these things exist to what are these things that we're seeing in the sky? Are they military? Are they aliens? Like, what is the real story here? And I think that's where we're trying to really go after.
I think we need to also, like, it's a UFO. The UFO is an unidentified flying object.
Yeah.
That's it. Lots of people see them. They're unidentified. Could be military, could be anything. Yeah, we see them. So what? But, like, we need to be. It's just weird that we're so.
Well, I mean, we had. Did we lose them?
I've seen them.
I've seen them.
Live in Washington D.C. and I saw some in the in the sky. I watched it for a while. Yeah. I can't believe me if I tell them this anyway. So who cares? Really, you know.
We had an expert
I think
on.
It was super fascinating, and you guys.
We had an expert on, Nick Pope, who came on. He said he was an expert in UFOs and came on, just told us they didn't exist, which I'm like 13 minutes into this interview, I'm like, hold on, you don't believe in any of it? I just don't get that. How you could call yourself a UFO expert and then you're like, it doesn't exist. It's like being an expert in magic and telling everybody how a magic trick happens.
You were cutting here, but I think what you said.
Basically, this expert said they didn't exist, and that's which is weird.
Hello.
I feel like we've gotten too close to the truth, and we're about to lose them.
Happens a lot.
And are they gone?
They're reconnecting.
Why does it sound like we're in a submarine? Try it again, one more time.
Submarine?
What's that?
You've been in a submarine?
No, but doesn't that whenever you hear a submarine underwater, they're always like, beep, boop, beep, boop. See, a regular show would edit this all out, but I will not. I will keep this all in as we discuss. We got two more things to do, man. We're getting into...
You saved the best for last, I'm pretty sure, huh?
UFOs in Antarctica. Are they gone? Aaron, thoughts? Are they back? Oh man, I think my biracial bisexual comic got a little weird. Are you back, gentlemen?
Yeah, we're back.
They tried to stop the show, but our Wi-Fi is too powerful for the lizard people. We're back to UFOs. Tom, what's his name from Blink-182, goes on Joe Rogan, says, oh, yeah, I'm hanging out with John Podesta, and he wants me to tell you all about UFOs, and nobody blinks at all. There's no reaction to UFOs, nothing. Thoughts? It's just so weird that nobody gives a shit.
I think what we're seeing is that, you know, I think they were expecting a larger impact with all of this. And again, it's like, you know, you look at. I think the audio is.
You guys are.
Can you guys hear us?
We can hear you. We can hear you. You stop every once in a while, but I think we should be good. Whatever's going on at the bunker.
You're kind of cutting out for us, but if you can hear us, then...
Nope.
Okay, I want to stop. Let's stop UFOs. Let's get to... I want to talk about... I wanted to talk aliens with you guys, too, but I feel like this. We're using up all of our juice at this point. Okay. Antarctica. What's going on in Antarctica? Are you there? Oh, they're fucking... These lizards, man. They're good. They're good.
And we changed it up today. We moved somewhere else, and they still got...
We can hear you now.
I think we're in good shape now.
Now we're good. Okay. We're back. Yes, the Alliance has struck again. The truth is getting out. Bam, aliens. Talk to me about aliens.
I wouldn't do that.
Okay, don't touch anything. And we lost them. Dale, you're back.
He said don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Aliens. Okay,
aliens.
So,
there we go.
I heard a little bit about you guys were talking about Tom DeLonge and things like that. So, I mean, I think, you know, what's really fascinating is that, so by them putting this out there, New York Times wrote this article, blah, 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 and it's like they thought it was going to create a huge impact, and it really didn't. And I think it's because, again, it's kind of like we're past this phase. It's like, yes, we know there are things in the sky. We don't care anymore. We want to know what is going on. What is the government hiding from us? That's what we care about, right? So recently, if you really follow the Navy, they're releasing some very interesting documents and very interesting articles. So recently, they released a patent that they had for a UFO-type aircraft that defied gravity. So it created its own gravitational field, which it could travel at very fast speeds. And this is the Navy releasing these kinds of documents. And recently they keep releasing stuff. They released something else that was guidelines on like protocols on people in the military to follow when they see a UFO. So it's like, why is the Navy releasing this stuff? You know, and this is part what Corey Good was. So Corey Good has been talking about the Navy for a long time, and he keeps saying, "Watch the Navy." And he says what he told us was that the secret space program is part of the Navy. So the Navy is the one that seems to be more of the Alliance that are releasing the actual information of really what's happening. And some of the Air Force seem to be more connected to the deep state. Again, not everybody in the Air Force, part of it seems to be more connected with that. And they're kind of battling for disclosure, if you will.
Yeah, for sure.
We got it.
Which will lead us into disclosure and hiding stuff.
Can you guys hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you. You guys are great. Which is a big thing about Antarctica. What is going on in Antarctica? Yes. There's so much. Is it Hollow Earth? Is it aliens? Is it the aliens' crib? Are they, you know, because there's so much going on. And as the, you know, we have this climate change or whatever you want, whatever, whether it's natural or man-made, whatever it is, we have the melting of the polar caps, and all of a sudden more and more is getting revealed about Antarctica. What is Antarctica? What's going on there? Your thoughts.
The answer to that question is yes. All of the above.
For sure. I mean, Hitler loved Antarctica, man. It was like...
So in Antarctica, I mean, so this seems to be really a big hot spot. Yeah, so right now, with everything going on in Antarctica, it's completely closed off. There's all these... it sounds crazy, but if you look at Hitler, he was really obsessed with Antarctica. And it really seems that, from what we're told, and we're told this by some of the people in the military who don't really want to come out right now talking about it, but they say that there, I mean, this is a lot of people say that there is a old Nazi base that is literally in Antarctica. But that's just not all, right? You start looking on Google Maps, you can start finding a lot of stuff. There is a Fitbit app, and I can't remember. It starts with an S. I can't remember off the top of my head what it was called. But it shows heat signals of everyone who is using this app on Fitbit. Well, you look at this map in Antarctica, and it's like in the middle of nowhere in Antarctica, you see a perfect outline of what looks like some kind of base.
It's like just people walking around with their Fitbits on.
But it's like in perfect shapes of like one, it's like kind of like a square and it comes around, you know, and if this is just people walking around, you would just see it kind of random patterns just going around. These are like structured patterns. And then there's like a weird runway type thing that looks like it's a straight line that comes down. That's like 10 miles. And then it's near where the big mountain is. But, you know, but what's strange about this mountain is that it's flat on all four sides. And it kind of, then there's two small pyramids next to it, which looks very identical to the pyramids of Giza and Egypt.
Oh, man.
So there's definitely things going on.
Why is every nation down there? And why do politicians take trips to Antarctica? It makes no sense. Like, I think when Obama was leaving office, him and John Kerry and a bunch of people all went down to Antarctica on a ship. Why would you do that? No one wants to go to Antarctica. It's cold down there. Right. Unless there was something there that you were going to see or observe.
Right. A Stargate? Really? Are you guys talking about Stargate? Is there Stargate there?
You know, there's different rumors about what's down there. And some of them are about different technologies that lead to different places. There's technology down there from, you know, old ancient civilizations that had a higher technology than us. I mean, there's a lot of different stories about these things. And then apparently every country has an interest down there, not just because of that, but also because apparently remains of spaceships and alien beings themselves. So it's, I mean, will we find that out? I hope so.
I hope so too. You know. Yeah. So, and according to Corey, the Alliance really wants, well, there's kind of like a divide in the Alliance. Like some of them want this information out right away. Some of them want to release it gradually. The deep state's really trying to take control of this. Their plan was to bring it out slowly over 10 years. And that didn't really quite happen because all this information started coming out very quickly, quicker than they could process. But I mean, it seems that, you know, the division that is happening with the deep state aspect and the Alliance all comes back to, really, it seems like these indictments that are happening. It's like 90,000 indictments. And we were told that each indictment could have up to
92 or 93 names on it.
Yeah. So, you know, it looks like they're trying to distract and take away from what is going on. And this is, again, why QAnon seems to be a huge threat directly to the deep state, because they're calling out all their crimes. And, you know, some of this gets into treason. And if media had a play in treason, I mean, this is serious, serious crime. So they either have a choice. They give in and tell them the truth, or they fight against it. And it looks like a lot of them have chosen to fight against it.
Wow. Wow. So, I mean, all this is amazing. As we get to the end of this, we are in an interesting time. Like, you had a whole video series on prophecies. Are we entering the end of days? Is the rapture coming? Is it Israelis versus pagans? Like some weird kind of, if you're a jet, you're a jet all the way, like, type thing. And how does it end? Are we coming to a point of enlightenment? Or are we going to have like 500 years of darkness that these people seem to really want?
I think we are. I think we are coming, or we're entering a new time period. But I think that no one on the planet is prepared for what that's going to be or look like. There isn't an enough amount of intel, and there's no person to look at. Like, I really, like, a lot of people ask this question a lot, and, you know, Ben and I just kind of, I think people need to stop looking outside and to start looking inside and to really look at themselves and try to take this opportunity to fix stuff in themselves. I think that's what this time is for. That's what this time is about. And, you know, now's the time to do that, because there is nothing that can prepare you for something like that. And, you know, being prepared on the inside is actually the best defense in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, and like, we really believe that this is happening. This is why we believe that we're all here. I mean, like, Rob and I especially.
How come it's only when
and we
Ben
believe
talks?
That, you know, everything is going on because this is the time that this is, like, this is it. We are in the end times. And people, you know, we get this question a lot. A lot of people freaking out about this, but exactly what Rob said. And I think the key is forgiveness really plays a part in this. We truly are trying to reach forgiveness. Try to reach whatever religious or religion or faith or whatever it is that you believe in, as long as it's not like satanic and telling you to hurt others or anything else. But all the like righteous way of beliefs, like really embracing that and seeking the truth and searching for a divine aspect, whatever that is within ourselves and through the universe. You know, I believe that I believe that we're all connected too. So it's like whatever happens in the universe also affects us. And Rob and I are very strong believers in this. So we as humans, we have abilities that may be suppressed by these dark forces that we have no idea what we are capable of. And maybe when all of this happens, if we align ourselves in the correct path, maybe we ourselves could just open up other dimensions and just like be able to walk right through it. So whatever happens here, we won't be affected. We can just go through and like be in a very beautiful, wonderful place. But to get there, we really have to focus on ourselves, change ourselves, really look within, and really want to, you know, help the human race.
Well, guys, I have to be honest with you, man. It was an amazing show. I enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite shows we've done. You guys are just a wealth of knowledge. You're definitely a national treasure. And I really appreciate you guys coming on and dropping some truth bombs.
The Nicolas Cage guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we the Nicolas Cage kind of national treasure?
There we go. Hey, dude, it is my theory that Nicolas Cage is a time-traveling shaman, and his movies are all clues to what the lizard people are up to, dude. Look into it, homeboy. I'm telling you right now.
That's my take-home.
You guys are the best. I appreciate you guys so much. Do you guys want to give any quick shout-outs to what you want people to check out?
Yeah, I think please, if you're new to our show, I mean, depending on where you're at, you guys are probably into conspiracy theories. Check out our Deep State series and check out our Communism series. Both of those will blow your mind. Mm-hmm. And we have a subscription-based platform where we're going to be dropping all kinds of truths that we can't drop on YouTube. It's called edgeofwonder.tv. It's subscription-based, but we're going to be doing things there like, you know, pizza fence, you know what that is, and different things like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Please go there. And if you can, subscribe, and we really appreciate you guys for having us on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this has been amazing, guys. Great interview. Thanks for having us.
You guys have great energy. You're positive. That's why your YouTube channel is doing so well. You put out good energy and not like negative stuff, and that's why you're growing. And it means a lot to me that you guys came on our show. We're just a little show that could. And, man, you guys, I would go to you before I go to any of the Fox News or MSNBC and all that stuff. You guys are the good stuff, man. You guys are legends in this thing, and I appreciate you guys coming on. And we will talk sooner than later. I appreciate you guys. Take care. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We appreciate both Rob and Ben coming on from Edge of Wonder. XG, you're a wonderful human being, and we will talk to you guys soon. Take care, everybody.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.